Thank you, praise team. I encourage you to open your Bibles to John chapter 7 today. John chapter 7 is where I'm going to be speaking from. I'm going to start at verse 14 and go through verse 24. The title of the message is God's Will. What is God's will for your life? Do you know what that is? I'm going to talk about that in just a couple of moments here. Last week, we saw the interaction of Jesus with his brothers. They basically are telling him, you need to go to Jerusalem. You need to go to Jerusalem and make yourself known. And they're challenging him to go. He did not because it wasn't his time. But we see that he is going to go up anyway. We saw that in verse 10, but in verse 14, it tells us when he goes up. As a reminder, he was going up during the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths, and there was probably a feast in September or October, and they came to celebrate the harvest. So many would have been in town, and they were going to live in little booths or little tents, and then Jesus shows up, and he offers some insight. He basically asks and tells us, do God's will. So, are you fulfilling God's will in your life right now? If you join me, John chapter 7, I'm going to start at verse 14, go through verse 24. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible with you, there's probably a Bible near you on page 893. Please hear from God's word today. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up in the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, how is it that this man has learning when he has never studied? So Jesus answered them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? The crowd answered, you have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? Jesus answered them, I did one work and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. The first thing I want you to see here is Jesus' teaching was heaven sent. Jesus' teaching was heaven sent. I ask the question, is mine? And I also ask the question of you, is yours? Do we give credit to God when we do so well? They ask this question, how is this man, where is he? God is learning. So immediately we're like, well, Jesus was God. Of course, God is learning from God. But can we have this kind of learning? Here's my encouragement. Why not? Why can't each of us, just not me, why can't I have the wisdom of God? We can, I think. God reveals it to us. Hear me in this. All truth is God's truth. All truth is God's truth, and sometimes, this is a good lunch discussion maybe, or maybe it wouldn't be because you agree with me, which is a good thing. All truth is God's truth, and sometimes God gives us truth through somebody who is not following after him. Have you ever received godly wisdom from somebody who's not a Christian? That seems weird. That seems like a paradox or juxtaposition. How would that work? But God can speak through any person. I think a lot of times he speaks through godly people. But God, in his divine understanding, he actually can speak through ungodly people. I don't know if you've ever had somebody share with you something wise and you're like, well, that's really deep, but where did you get that from? They got it from God. We must give credit to God for our learning. I wonder if you're smart in biblical things. Anybody smart in biblical things? Harrison is. That's wonderful. Praise God for that. Everybody raise your hand, please. Thank you. Put your hand down. You are all smart in biblical things. That's a true statement. You need to grow in your smartness, of course. But I believe this. I believe that we can be wise and smart in biblical things, every one of us, because it's God's stuff. Not just Harrison, but everybody. Here's another thing that I think. Every one of you is smart in something. I believe that. You may say, well, I'm... If I sit down long with you, long enough with you, you're going to be smart in something. Here's what happens, though. A number of you have been in school, and they put you in a category. And that category says you're smart or not. What do smart students get? A's, right? Baloney. Can I use that word? Hopefully that's okay to use. That doesn't necessarily mean you're smart. That means you're smart according to an education system that has been set up for a certain way. Now, education's not bad, but you're smart. Let me give you an understanding of this. There are some hands-on kids. You might have been one of those. And you were very hands-on. And then the teacher says, okay, we're going to have 159 multiple choice question test. And it's going to be A, B, C, or D. And you're one of those hands-on kids, and you're like, you look at the A, B, C, or D, and they all seem to say the same thing. And you're looking at them and thinking, this is just really weird. I don't know. So you just do B, C all the way through because you have no idea. And so you get your test back and you flunk it. And does that make you not smart? According to a school, it does. But according to God, it does not. You have a hands-on kid. You give them something and you say, put that together. And there are some hands-on people like, there are some of you in this room that are like this. You don't even look at the instruction manual. I don't like that. You're just like, oh, wait, why would you even, we just use that in case we might need to use, because you're smart. God has given you that ability. And so hands-on kids sometimes in school struggle. There are some artistic kids. They don't really care about 1492, all right? That's a date that's in some of your heads. 1492. What happened in 1492? Columbus sailed the ocean blue. But there are some artistic kids that their pictures of those three ships would greatly outshine 1492. I mean, really, 1492, who cares? I mean, it's important, I understand. The date's important. But the beautiful ships that they would put on a piece of canvas or a piece of paper, now that's impressive. That's a God-given thing. There are some of you in this room that you would shoot at the wrong basket. Sometimes you'd make it, and that would really throw everything out. Or you throw the frisbee incorrectly, or your sneakers always came untied, and so in PE class, you were getting a D. And that other kid that had the nice shoes, and that other kid that, how in the world did they throw the frisbee so well? Who knows? And then floor hockey came, and they could hit the puck. They got an A. Does that make them better than you? In school, but not in life. Hear this. Every one of you is smart. And one thing I encourage you to be learned on is in your faith and in His Word. You may not use the words eschatology or divinity or sanctification in your daily language, and you don't have to, but you can know God and you can know His Word. Learn about Him and let God grade you as smart, not man. Learn so you may teach. Learn so you may teach God's Word, and your teaching can come from God. In the psalmist said it this way, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. And speak for God's glory, not your own. This is what Jesus did. He had this understanding that was heaven sent. What would our talking and our language be like if we spoke to seek God's glory, not our own? And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the very oracles of God. The teaching of the day would have been like this. The young boy would have gone to rabbinic school, and they would have learned there.
But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't go to the rabbinic school. He learned a different way. And they were confused, the Jews, because everyone knew this. And how could he know this stuff? I love in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, and if you turn over there, you will see the story about Peter and John. And they were questioning Peter and John, and they saw the boldness of Peter and John. But then this is what it says. And they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. And they were astonished. But here's the next verse, or next part of the verse. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. There's something about being with Jesus that just makes you smart. Because you're asking for godly wisdom. You're asking for that wisdom to come through you. And so you just get smart. So you want to get smarter? Go get more with the Lord. I brought to you some mathematical equations. Here, I'll bring them down for you to be able to see. Kyler, would you like to solve these problems, please? Everybody see these? I don't even know how to say these, just so you know. Do you know how to say these, Bennett? Do you know how to say these, Bennett? Your mother is bothering you. Do you know how to say these? You don't know how to say these? Oh, you got them to me, and so I thought maybe you knew how. Do you know what they mean? Okay, well, great. Chris Hemsock, do you know what those mean? You do? Do you know how to say them? You don't know how to say them? Okay, that's fine. This is book learning. This is some kind of math, just for some of you. It's not Greek, it's not Hebrew. Some kind of math of some kind that means something with something. There, this little signal here, you can't see it probably real well. It's pi. Pi is 3.14, and then there's a whole bunch of other numbers. Why do we use pi? I'd pretty much rather just like to eat pie myself than use pie. An amen there? I heard an amen. I have a friend that says he likes two kinds of pie. Cold pie and hot pie. You are smart, and godly wisdom can come through you. If you go to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, you will read this. Jesus is speaking to the people, and then he says this. You have heard that it has been said, but I say, and then he says what he says. See, because in that day and age, they would just give, well, you've heard that it has been said by Pastor Steve, and then that gets credibility for it. And so they would never say something on their own, because who were they to have the top word? So they would give, well, you've heard that Dawson has said. Oh, well, then, yes, that's what it is. You've heard what Liam has said, and, well, yes. But you just can't say, well, I say. But Jesus broke that down. Why? Because he had a heavenly message. He had a higher authority. The authority was from the Godhead itself. Look at it this way. Two kids in a room. One is misbehaving. The other tells the other one to quit. The first kid doesn't until the second kid says, but dad says not to do that. Now, kid number one, some of you were the kid number one. I don't care what dad says, and you went ahead and did it anyway. But if kid number one knows the wrath of dad, he says, I will stop, because he knows. It's not because the second kid said it. It's because the second kid let the first kid be reminded of that because of dad. Hear this quote. All great productions of the human mind and spirit are given by God. If we glory in being self-taught, if we claim that any discovery we have made is out of our own unaided work, we are the last analysis, glorifying only our own reputation and our own selves. The greatest of men think not of the power of their own mind or hand. They think always of the God who told them what they know and taught them what they can do. You are smart because of God's wisdom, not because of your own. Ask for that. Are people amazed by your godly wisdom? Be humble in that if they are. Wow, where did you get that? Where did that come from? How? Why did you? And you say, I don't know. Or you say, God has given to me that wisdom. Here's what Jeremiah 33:3 says. Call upon me, and I will answer you, and I will show you things you do not know. Number two, I want you to see, are you doing God's will? Jesus was teaching here. This was not all of his ministry, but he saw it as one who did what God told him to do. Jesus states, if anyone does God's will, I'm going to spend a couple of moments talking about this and ask, are you doing God's will for your life? It's not a discussion to move anyone out of what you're doing, but actually help you to confirm in what you are doing, but also maybe move you on. I believe everyone here desires to do God's will. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. If you're not a Christian here today, then you desire to do your best, but are you really doing God's will? Let me talk to a couple of you that are younger in this room, if for just a moment, probably kids and teens and young adults. What markers are in your life to determine that you are doing God's will? I hope that you're asking God what he wants you to be. Pray that he would show you a path. Ask people around you. God has gifted you in a certain way. God has gifted you in a certain way that you should use your gifts. And so use them for his glory. For example, and many of you know this, if you're an extremely shy person and you're a young child, either God has to grow you through that shyness or you're not going to be doing what I do. Because you're going to want to do this. I don't want to go up there. So don't do that unless God moves you beyond. Some of you are active, and you're active kids, and you really like to move around, and you like to go everywhere. Don't get an office job someday. That's not probably God's will for you. It'll drive you bonkers, and you'll be banging on the desk, and somebody will be like, stop that. Maybe you do that already. But the greater question is not about doing something, but it's about being something. And this is where everybody in the room comes into the discussion. It's not about a job. It's about a life calling. I think some of us don't get this because of what we've been taught, just like the Jews. We've been taught to get a job and settle down with a spouse and kids, and everything will be just wonderful. Find God's will first and then work out your life from there. His will is for us to glorify him. The Jews were debating him about circumcision and what to do on the Sabbath. And healing. And Jesus is saying, you aren't getting it. So we can be frustrated going through life because we aren't submitting to God's will in our lives. But we can be. Third thing I want you to see is this. The crowd lashes out at him. They accuse him of having a demon. And Jesus was well learned. He knows that they are trying to kill him. And he calls them out for that. There's something about knowing something, and when you go right at the accuser and say, you're trying to kill me, sometimes they don't, no, what do you mean I'm trying to kill you? But he's like, you're trying to kill me. So they accuse him, and then they deny him by asking a question. Well, who is trying to kill you? Like they didn't know, but maybe they do. Or maybe there's a crowd, and the leaders are actually the ones trying to kill him, and he's put in this place. But Jesus masterfully puts them into another position. You have to remember that the Jews wanted to do the right thing. They always wanted to do the right thing. They had many laws and regulations. So Jesus brings up two things. The first thing seems a little out of place here. Actually, some people, some scholars are like, this is taken in the wrong place. Because he says this. He says, well, I did one miracle. And if you look in 7 and 6, you're like, what's that miracle? What is that miracle he's talking about? Well, the miracle that he's referring to is actually back in chapter 5. So some would say, well, that should this part of the passage should be right after 5, but here it is in chapter 7 for us. And if you remember chapter 5, what's he do? He goes and he finds a man who's sitting on a mat. Remember the mat? Several months ago, he was sitting on the mat. I think the mat was over here. And he's sitting by the pool, and he's saying, I want to be healed, but I can't get into the pool because nobody will help me. And Jesus just says, take up your mat and walk. And guess what happens? The guy took up his mat and he walked. The challenge, though, is that he healed on the Sabbath. He can't do that. But Jesus says, I am Lord of the Sabbath. And I think we need to have a Sabbath, and I don't think that Jesus is saying that we shouldn't have a day of rest and worship. I think he is saying that this level of not doing anything on the Sabbath had got out of whack. But the second thing he talks about is he talks about circumcision. Now, why does he bring this up? He brings this up because all Jewish males were required to be circumcised. This is a physical sign of the covenant between God and Abraham many years ago. It involves the removal of flesh from a male's body. This was just something that everyone did. This is what you did. But the rules were this. The rules were you circumcised on the 8th day. Not the 7th, not the 9th, not the 15th, but it happened on the 8th day. The Sabbath was our Saturday, and obviously there were babies born on Friday, which means that a week and a day later, it's going to be a Saturday. And what would they do on that Saturday? They would circumcise that young boy. Jesus is saying, you are debating me, and yet you work, because that wasn't medically needed per se. The child wasn't dying. You work on the Sabbath, and yet you think I am demon-possessed. The Jews are saying they fully obey the law, but yet they circumcise on the Sabbath, and it's not a medically needed attention. It could wait. Or maybe, as one would say this, if circumcision be allowed on the Sabbath, should not also a deed of mercy like the complete healing of a man? Or another way to think of it is this way. Circumcision is the cutting away of flesh of a man, and it's actually taking something from someone's body. And Jesus says this, why is it okay to take something away from someone's body when I made a man well and made him whole on the Sabbath, referring back to the person that he healed by the pool? So then he says, don't judge me on external experiences, make the right judgment. They were judging Jesus on what they saw, not what was truly happening. And maybe we've done that with God. And maybe you haven't moved on in your relationship with God because he is not doing something right. We judge God. Maybe that's a strange concept for you, but maybe it's a reality for us. Has God not come through in a certain way for you? And then you judge him and say, what are you doing? That's not right. And God says, back to last week's sermon, in my perfect timing, it is. But we also judge others. Jesus is debating this and says, look differently. Look differently. Do not judge, verse 24, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. Look at the heart. So Jesus is saying this. You've got to look deeper, but we want to settle for the surfacey things. Here's how I know. We're going to prove it. We're going to prove it this morning. We have donut holes out in the commons area, and we have crackers and cheese. It's amazing. We hardly ever have any donut holes left. Isn't that amazing? It's not. Why is it not amazing? Because we sure like sweetness stuff, don't we? You know, if I was to put out 8 apples out there, I might have some apples left over after every Sunday. Why?
because it's nutritious. Now, some of you are like, well, I'm nutritious and I eat. Good, 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 good. But all of us have a little sweetness, and we like the cinnamon rolls. I had this big cinnamon roll this last week. Was it good? Oh, man, was it good. Some of us are like, I'll take the small steak and a little bit of vegetables, but please, 4 scoops of ice cream because that's good. Mm-hmm. We come to church, but to repent, to get in a Bible study, to memorize God's word, that's tough. And Jesus is saying, look deeper. Look deeper so you can know the things of heaven. You are smart. Every one of you is smart. I want to repeat that for everyone here. Because some of you feel like, I don't know God's word. I failed a lot in life. You might even leave today and you'd like to tell me the story of how you got an F in a certain class. Just erase that. You're smart. May you be filled with godly wisdom. Jesus says this, you will be able to do greater things than I have done. And if he came with this wisdom that wasn't taught in a school, surely he can give us that wisdom as well. But we have to wait for that wisdom, and we have to listen to that wisdom, and we have to dig into that wisdom. Instead of just doing a servicey, enjoy the donut hole, we have to go for the solid food. Are you learning from the Lord? What did he teach you this last week? Are you doing God's will? May you do God's will this week. And here's what happens. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. You will know God's will when you ask for him in your life and you ask to do his will. You'll know those teachings. They'll be right there for you. Look deep. Do not judge. And may each one of us have the godly wisdom and serve God wholeheartedly. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for each one of you today. God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for each smart person in this room. Would you enable us to have greater wisdom of you and in you? Would it be that maybe some people will be marveled at what we say because you give us that wisdom? We don't want to be haughty about that by any means, Lord. But would you give us the wisdom? I pray that everyone here would do your will. Not necessarily a profession, but that we would be your servants. God, may we not miss it this week. And may our eyes be open to what you have in store for us. And may we share with others about the gifts that you have given to us. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for everyone being here. May we follow after you all this week in everything we do and say. And we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.